From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Religious But Not Regenerate, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. It is not the Lord is partly my portion, nor the Lord is in my portion, but He Himself makes up the sum total of my soul's inheritance. Within the circumference of that circle lies all that we possess or desire. The Lord is my portion, not His grace merely, nor His love, nor His covenant, but Jehovah Himself. He has chosen us for His portion, and we have chosen Him for ours. It is true that the Lord must first choose our inheritance for us, or else we shall never choose it for ourselves. But if we are really called according to the purpose of electing love, we can sing, Loved of my God, for Him again with love intense I burn. Chosen of Him ere time began, I choose Him in return. The Lord is our all-sufficient portion. God fills Himself, and if God is all-sufficient in Himself, He must be all-sufficient for us. It is not easy to satisfy man's desires. When he dreams that he is satisfied, anon he wakes to the perception that there is somewhat yet beyond, and straightway the horse-leech in his heart cries, Give, give! But all that we can wish for is to be found in our divine portion, so that we ask, Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. Well may we delight ourselves in the Lord, who makes us to drink of the river of His pleasures. Our faith stretches her wings and mounts like an eagle into the heaven of divine love, as to her proper dwelling place. The lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. Yea, we have a goodly heritage. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. Let us show to the world that we are a happy and a blessed people, and thus induce them to exclaim, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. From the seventh chapter of Joshua, Dr. Cairns continues to examine the sin of Achan. Most Christians tend to think of Achan's sin and its consequences as a national tragedy, but it also has a very personal aspect. Achan had all the outward appearances of a true follower of the God of Israel. Yet God was not fooled by Achan's hypocrisy. It is a sad fact that many churches have members or regular attenders who give all the appearance of true religion. Yet, under the facade of piety lies the tragic truth that they have never been born again. The fate that befell Achan is sure to be visited upon these false professors unless there is true repentance and a wholehearted embracing of Christ as Savior and Lord. The true nature of Achan's heart was revealed by his attitude towards sin. So it is with those who profess love for God, but prefer the pleasures that are associated with the ungodly. Now, Dr. Cairns continues this message, Religious but not regenerate.
All the children of Israel received the same divine law before attacking Jericho. They all knew that they were barred from touching the accursed thing. They all knew that God had made that the touchstone of the reality of their standing with Him. They all knew that God's death sentence was upon the man who would breach this law. Every one of the children of Israel, and all those soldiers especially going into battle, received the same law as Achan. Now many other soldiers must have seen the treasures of Jericho. In fact, they had to handle them, for they were the people who brought them and led them in the treasury of the Lord. Many of them, being ordinary men and being poor men, nomads, with very, very little of this world's goods, many of them must have felt the temptation that Achan felt. They were not perfect men, but every one of them knew this is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of obeying and recognizing my God or denying my God. And so they took the Lord's side against the world and the flesh and the devil. When Achan took the booty of Jericho, far more than showing the greed of his heart, he showed his attitude to God, to God's law, and he showed his attitude to sin. When Achan did that, he sent a message straight to heaven as to who was the real ruler of his heart. God had made it abundantly clear. He had made this so clear that Achan could make no mistake about it. So with deliberation, Achan flew in the face of God, and he was saying in the loudest and clearest way, "This is what I think of God, and this is how I love my sin." The very first proof of a new heart and of a genuine faith is a new attitude to God and a new attitude to sin. When the apostles went out preaching, they preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God. You remember, I did a series of messages on that text a year or two back. And I pointed out that repentance is put before faith, not because in actual chronology we repent before we believe. You try that sometime and you'll find it's impossible. Repentance is an act of faith. But it's put before faith because in salvation, the very first proof of a new heart is a new attitude to God. A new attitude to the Word of God. A new attitude to the authority of God. A new attitude to the glory of God. And therefore, a new attitude towards sin. In Romans chapter 8, both in verse 1 and verse 4, we are told emphatically that true believers walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. That's not a condition of being saved. That's the result of being saved. You don't save your soul by walking after the Spirit. You don't become regenerate by denying the flesh and walking in the Spirit. No, but when you are regenerated, you deny the flesh and you walk after the Spirit. That is the mark of true salvation. That is the mark of a man who is truly regenerated. God's people, washed in the blood of Christ, made new creatures by the Spirit of Christ. are people who are at one with God, but at war with sin. Never forget that. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:13. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now, I've heard preachers preach in that text. I remember as a young preacher, I preached on it this way myself, before I knew any better. Some truth in what is being said here, but it's not the ultimate truth of the text. I've heard preachers say, this is to the Christian, and if as a Christian you walk after the flesh, it will be death to your prayer life. It will be death to your reading of the Bible. It will be death to your love for souls. Now, all those things would be true of a Christian. But that's not what he's saying in Romans 8. He's saying, you profess to be saved. You have the appearance of being saved. Well, let me tell you, if you are born again of the Spirit of God, the mark of the born again man is he's at one with God, he's at war with sin, and if you live as a practice after the flesh, if that is your natural realm, if you're at one with sin and at war with God, then he says you'll die. And it's the same death as the wages of sin is death. It's exactly the same death. The death that Paul talks about is death for all eternity. He's saying, look, if you have never had a new attitude to God, a new attitude to sin, if you've never changed sides in the battle between God and sin and the devil, then you've never been born again. You've never been born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now I want you to understand that. It's not he may be a new creature. In most cases, we hope he will become a new creature. With a little practice, he may arrive at being a new creature. That's not what it says. By the action of the Holy Spirit in putting a man into Christ, by that regenerating act of the Spirit of God, that man, that moment, becomes a new creature. That's what he's saying. And oh, that we would grasp this. Only new creatures are saved. Only new creatures are saved. They're not perfect in themselves. No, they're not. Though every true Christian I have ever known would give all he has to be perfect. They're not perfect in themselves, but they have a new attitude to the Lord. He is their God, their King, their Master. He is not an imposing intruder. God and His Word are not a burden that weighs them down. No, no. They love the Lord. New creatures acknowledge Him and they fight their sin. Achan was an unrenewed man. He went into sin with his eyes open. He continued in that sin for many days. He had ample opportunity to repent. There was quite a period when he could have brought all that he had taken and brought it to Joshua and said, Joshua, I have been tempted and I almost took this for myself. But there it is where it belongs. He had opportunity to confess and to repent. But he refused to do so, continuing to compound his guilt. And as he went on, he involved his wife. and his children. And he hid behind the cloak of religious profession. Everybody took him to be a good, upstanding member of the Jewish church. Yes, he hid behind his profession. Let me tell you, those are the marks of an unregenerate man. Listen, you may tell me, yes, I walked the aisle, yes, I joined the church, yes, I got baptized, yes, this oil. You may tell me all those things. But if you are walking into a life of sin and ungodliness with your eyes open, continuing in that sin where God is denied, his Christ is denied, you have no heart for Christ, no heart for the word of Christ, or the glory of Christ, or the work of Christ, or the people of Christ. You have no heart for those. Your people are the world's people. Your conduct is the world's conduct. Your enjoyment is the world's enjoyment. Your environment is the world's environment. That's your home. Man, if you're telling me that. But you salve your conscience by a little trip to church, the way a papist would salve his conscience by a little trip to the confessional. Then think again. Think again, man. For that's the mark of an unrenewed and unregenerate sinner. Again, let me invite you today to examine yourself in the light of this Word of God. And if this day finds you still unsaved, I have only one word for you, and that is flee. Flee to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Savior of sinners. Jesus Christ's precious shed blood has all the virtue and all the power to wash away sin, original sin, actual transgression. The grace of God is mighty to transform the vilest offender and make him a virtuous saint of God. Flee to Christ. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Will you come to the Savior? Oh, flee, and I use that word advisedly. It denotes haste. It says, I recognize I have wasted many precious years, but now I'm coming home. It says, I have lingered on the borderland of a lost eternity for too long, but now I'm coming home. Flee to Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.